333 today.
The press says that we must transcend petty politics. What does all that mean? We'll explain coming up in this hour of America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. Some of you experiencing a snow apocalypse probably right now in Baltimore, Philly, or perhaps Washington, D.C. This time around, more snow projected will even touch that New York metro area. But having said that, while Washington is kind of at a standstill, at least for some of the Fed workers who could not get to work, and imagine even more snow being dumped on them, there will be a briefing on the Hill that is all about Gitmo. I almost want to produce an idiot's guide to Gitmo. You know how they have that idiot's guide to the Internet, idiot's guide to Spanish, to whatever? So the bickering over the Gitmo deal, first it was supposed to be closed on January 22nd. That didn't happen. There is no funding, by the way, to close that and then to house the war criminals or combatants, enemy combatants, whatever you want to call them, to house them somewhere in the United States. There was talk about that Thompson facility in Illinois, but they still have to make it ready for them to get over there, and they have to officially close Gitmo and have the money to do that. That has not happened. So there will be a big, fat briefing. It should be interesting to see what comes out of that. Because I say, while the president thinks it is a recruiting terrorist by having Gitmo open, I say it's a place to house these war criminals. Just try them there in the military tribunals. If they're innocent, great, boom, do the due process thing. But why, oh why, are we, one, because it's already there, open, running, fine, why would we incur even more cost by bringing them to the United States? And I think it's more of a recruiting tool to bring them, frankly, to the United States, which piggybacks onto the 9/11 trials in New York City. And that's not a done deal at this point. However, the mayor is fuming. I heard from somebody I know who's had a few brushes with Mayor Bloomberg that high on his agenda is getting this out of the city unless it is completely funded by us, the taxpayers. That's right, by the United States government, because New York does not want to incur the cost. Isn't it funny how it's changed? The pendulum has swung in a different direction. Once you start to talk about money and, oh, yes, speaking of recruiting terrorists, and then the thought that, ooh, having this trial right there, a stone's throw away from where the towers went down, geez, might not really be the best thing that we could do as far as antagonizing those who might want to attack New York City or the United States once again. So my question is, in looking at Gitmo and the things that supposedly happened there, and, oh, the world hates us and we're as bad as the terrorists and this is ugly and this is ridiculous and those Bush people screwed it up for us and we have a horrible image and we need to get rid of the whole Gitmo thing, seize it, forget it, close it, get out of there and leave it forever and ever behind. But yet, when we talk to people who have been there, that's not what they're seeing. And I've said this before, not through the eyes of a conservative, through the eyes of somebody who's, in fact, pretty liberal, a reporter that I know that went there that we've had on America Tonight. And we've had Jeff Atticott is the person I know who, and we're having him on, by the way, in the next day or two to talk about this. But he just was at Guantanamo less than, well, just maybe a little over a year ago, and said he pretty much saw the operation running smooth other than the guards being spit at and having things thrown at them, and pretty much they were hands off and did what they normally would do in any kind of a routine prison situation. So the question becomes, after this Gitmo briefing, where do we go as a nation from here? Should this, what some call a house of horrors, be shut down? Is it really recruiting terrorists by keeping Gitmo open? But yet we know that some of the Yemen prisoners who were released back to that country were part of the group that helped teach Abdullah Muttalib what he needed to do when he got on that plane headed for Detroit and he was trying to blow it up. And two of those people were folks who were housed at Gitmo. I think that's the roadmap. That's all you need to know. I think that Gitmo stays up and running for at least another year, and I can't see Congress funding this, but they'll be talking about it, and we'll have that coming up on our next show, what the reaction is. Coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we're going to dive into a couple of different things, including the unbelievable amount of taxpayer money that is being wasted for nothing but pure pork disguised as paradise that you and I will never, ever be able to enjoy. But you know what? We help pay for this thing, $50 million. Wait till I tell you about this. I happened to catch it on one of the cable shows. I saw it on a line somewhere as something that was being funded, but didn't really realize exactly what we were getting into. I'm just going to give you a little hint here. This is called a teaser. You know the swamp land in Florida, if you believe that, you know, if you believe that they've really cut back on things that are ridiculous as far as pork is concerned, let me sell you some land that I have in Florida, wink, wink. But you might want to bring your waders because it's kind of like swamp land. But this is pristine that I'm talking about, but it's a ridiculous waste of money. So I'll tell you what it is. Mystery Solved is coming up next on ATN, and I'll give you the true skinny on all of that. All right, I just brought up Gitmo, and we go from Gitmo to this something that I talked about last week on ATN. One of the faces of the Taliban, a real bad guy, Mossad is his name. They say he was hit by a drone and is dead. But now there are a lot of rumors that are spreading as to whether or not this Taliban leader is actually dead or was he wounded in a drone hit in January. You know, we've had more attacks since he appeared in that farewell video with the double agent suicide bomber who killed the 7 CIA employees back in December. And I think that's when the U.S. went after him and others heavy and hard. It was proven, or supposedly proven through the usual pipeline, that Mossad was dead. But if Mossad's death it's not true, this isn't a good thing, because this is a major blow to the Pakistan Taliban, which is kind of an offshoot of the Afghan movement that's been blamed for the terror strikes in some of the major cities. So this would be huge if he were the guy that was knocked down. Yes, there are other people leading the charge, but he really was the point person, and they can't confirm at this point whether or not he's alive. And they're actually saying that it's up to the Taliban to prove if he's alive. They don't believe he is based on where those drones hit and all the information that they have. They say that he's dead and he's already been buried. Oh, let's hope so. The Taliban, though, refuses to prove that the leader survived the strike. See, that's the thing. Usually they're going to trot someone out in front of those little cameras and throw it on Al Jazeera and let you know when someone hasn't been killed. But I think there's a good chance Mossad really was killed. And woohoo, that's a victory for the good guys. Going to tell you about that piece of land, I mean pork, next on ATN.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture Products today.
Hi, this is Peter Krochnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. The multiple federal stimulus packages have been an utter failure, unless you're an executive for AIG, large banking, or investment institution. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? People like you and I can't go to Washington for a bailout. Having your hard-earned money in the stock market or any other related paper asset is a lose-lose proposition. Lose on your capital investment, and when you cash out, you're paid in the dollar that is losing value every day. One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Krochnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Krochnabel, 800-686-2237, extension 108.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book Explains Our Monetary System. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Give us a call, 800-259-5791. If you're still up, you might be exhausted, not even listening to the show, passed out hours ago because you've been shoveling. See, the whole snow apocalypse or snowmageddon, whichever you prefer, has brought up an interesting thing: is whose job is it to dig out in like front of your house? That's your, you know, that's that always tricky deal. You're responsible for your walkway. If somebody should slip and fall on it, that's a recipe for disaster. If they get really hurt, do something to their back or whatever, they could go after you. You have to clear that walkway. And especially when you're talking about underneath a lot of this snow, you've got ice. And this has created a lot of problems with homeowners and also business people who aren't clearing the sidewalks. So who's supposed to do the job? And there's been some violent or volatile confrontations, I guess showdowns, about digging the car out and all that kind of stuff, and where are you putting the snow and the curbside space. You can imagine in Washington and Philly and in Baltimore, and those cities are big cities, tough to find parking spots there. Where are you parking? Are you parking illegally? And most of the winters, let's face it, in that mid-Atlantic area, especially in recent times, have been pretty mild. So there hasn't been this question over who's supposed to dig out what. And speaking of digging out, we're just talking about digging out of Gitmo. Prez says it is a recruiting tool for terror. I disagree. What say you, America? You can throw in your two cents on this. 800-259-5791. And also the idea of what are they doing with our money? It was just a couple of weeks ago that the Democratic majority in the House agreed to spend $50 million to buy a former cotton plantation on the island of St. Croix. Now, hey, I agree with everybody else how beautiful it is down there. And some of the beachfront property and that water is, I like to scuba dive, so it's an incredible area. But it's an area called the Castle Nugget National Historic Park that I don't think I'm ever going to see unless somebody flies me there. It's really not that kind of a paradise that all of us could go off and enjoy. Now, you could say, well, I guess that's an investment, right? But the people who wanted the U.S. government to pick up the land didn't want it developed, and that was part of the reason why they sold it to the government. So it's not to put up a whole bunch of condos and awesome things on this trek of land. It's to keep it, you know, to conserve it, to keep it as it is, kind of like this pristine easement, if you will, in the middle of it all. So, I don't know. How do you get the money back? How do you get the money back on that? And somebody printed it. It might have been Fox. It was somebody. They had the final roll call on H.R. 3726. The Senate is going to take up a bill, the same kind of bill, as to whether or not they'll approve it. But they don't want the land developed. They want it preserved in its current condition. But, you know, why wouldn't they just, the people who own it, they should have just kept it themselves. To me, it's more money flying out the window, and it's ridiculous because where are we getting all this money? I mean, I know it's a drop in the bucket, but aren't we drowning for goodness sake in debt? Let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Hey, Kate. Kate, you know, it's interesting you pointing out a couple of things that are just waste, but if we were to sit here and go through it all night long, it would, you know, I think we'd fire all of Congress or something, so.
Right, if we looked at every single piece of pork, you're right. People would be shocked. There's a giant book full of it that you can get, and you can find out, I mean, it's buried in lots of different ways in legislation, but then certain things will come out, and you're right, there are other things that would set your hair on fire, and probably nobody would be left standing. It'd be like musical chairs, only there's no chairs left, and there's no one standing by the time we were done. It's just infuriating when you hear these kinds of stories, because you think, okay, here's a nickel you can save, here's a nickel you can save, here's a nickel you can save. Boy, that adds up.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kate, one of the things that bugs me about Washington is repetitive government, I call it. And my point is that, okay, for example, every state has its own Department of Transportation, right?
Yeah.
But we have to have a federal Department of Transportation. Every state has their own Treasury Department. But we have to have a federal Treasury Department. Every state has their own agriculture department, but we've got to have a federal on that, you know? And my point is that, you know, I don't see what, you know, yeah, you have the FDA is supposed to be looking out products and stuff, I guess, but I just sometimes wonder how much of that, you know, there's too much government, Kate, and, you know, when you're telling me they got to have $4 trillion to be able to cover everything to pay all the bills, I'm just shaking my head going, no, there's just too much going on, there's too much waste, there's too much government, and, you know, of course, to go in and say I'm going to cut that would be political suicide, basically,
mm-hmm.
You know. And so, but anyway, hey, listen, by the way, I was trying to tell you, and we ran out of time last night, but I had figured out in halftime, by the way, I knew the Saints were going to come back and win. And a lot of people believe that pro sports is rigged. In this case, you know, I was starting to think, you know, I think this might be rigged a little bit. You would like to know why?
Why? What led you to this revelation?
Well, I'm watching that old geezer group on there, you know, The Who, and I was just, it was bad. I was shaking my head like, those guys, you know, I mean, I had almost every album of theirs growing up, you know, and probably still have them somewhere around, and, you know, and I just shook my head and I said, boy, they got to retire. I mean, thanks for the great music, guys, but But, you know, they were flashing, you know, and lights. It was quite a light show in their presentation or whatever, but, you know. And then I had the Who going around, and then I started thinking for a second, well, what do they call the Saints fans?
Who dat?
The Who dat nation, right?
Uh-huh.
So they got the Who dats and the Who. The Who and the Who dat. I mean, it's like a double whammy. So, right there, I'm like, no, this ain't fair. The Colts, they got the Who and the Who dats going at them, so... Anyway, so.
All right, nice conspiracy theory, but I'm not buying that one. But I get your attempt at humor.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, though. I take it they had their parade today.
Yeah, supposedly it was crazy. They were partying with the fans, and lots of people showed up for the parade.
I was going to say, did they say how many? I was just curious how many people showed up. So.
I didn't see what the number was. At least a couple hundred thousand is what I heard initially, but I don't know if that's an official figure. It didn't look gigantic to me, but it's not a huge city, so I don't know. I'll see if I can find that number. We can count, and I'll see if I can find what their total is, but I don't know.
Hey, I came up with another idea. Now, you know my idea for Obama to put his foot where his mouth is, Mr. Greeny there. He says he's Mr. Greenpeace or whatever, and, you know, and build us those nuclear power plants, right, and get rid of coal-fired plants. But, you know, I came up with another idea, Kate, and it's so interesting because you hear all these things. I better hurry here. But, they're trying to tax cigarettes to death to get people to quit smoking, you know, because they cost so much. Mm-hmm. You know, I started thinking, what if they put 1,000% tax? What if your electric bill cost you 10 times as much every month?
You know, it'd be 10. I mean, we couldn't pay for it.
70 bucks?
Yeah, you
had to pay $600-$700 a month or something like that for electricity.
Right.
You think parents would let their little kids just run lights left and right? And, you know, and every time I go into places all the time, skates and bathrooms and stuff, and lights and public places, and lights are left on, and, you know, and, not necessarily, public, you know, in the offices or whatever, and it doesn't cost that much to run the light. I mean, it's not something where you're sitting there going, you know, hey, this is going to cost me a fortune if we don't turn this light off, you know. And whereas if it was, you know, because, you know, like you got to make electricity for the most part is cheap. But at the same time, Kate, you know, unless Americans take it into their own hand to start conserving and not just slowing down and saving gas, but even with, you know, just turning off lights that you don't use, you know. It comes back to the American people.
We're going to let you slide on that note. I agree with that. My grandfather used to say that when we were kids all the time. Whose room are you lighting up? Absolutely. Coming up on the flip side, Palin and some hand notes. Stay with us.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is your computer running slowly? Thinking about buying a new one? Don't waste your money. Your computer could be infected with spyware, malware, viruses, registry errors, spam, and pop-ups. You don't need to buy a new computer. Just go to DoubleMySpeed.com and find out what's slowing your computer down.
Double My Speed totally cleaned up my system and increased my speed.
DoubleMySpeed.com increased the speed of my computer from the very first day.
My computer was on its last leg. Now it's like new again.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and keep your computer running fast. Your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com is easy and fast.
It's the best you could ask for. How outstanding, and my computer is running faster than ever.
Find out what is slowing down your computer with a free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. Don't waste your time with your slow computer. Get your free diagnosis now at DoubleMySpeed.com. That's DoubleMySpeed.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Complicated, and you get lost. I call it getting lost in the sauce. Hey, it happens to all of us, right? So Sarah Palin didn't want to get lost in the sauce, I guess, and she had a little crib note on her hand. It was like the scribble heard round the world. Everybody had a thought on why, oh, why does this woman have scribble written on her hand? What does it mean? What was she trying to prompt herself to remember? Everybody got a piece of the action on Palin, including the White House spokesperson, Robert Gibbs, and here's what he had to say.
Look, and there's some in their party that want to do away with, as you saw during the presidential campaign, the entire... I wrote a few things down. I wrote eggs, milk, and bread. I crossed out bread just so I can make pancakes for Ethan if it snows. And then I wrote down hope and change just in case I forgot that.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Again, there's different ways of tax treatment for the Republicans.
All right. So obviously taking a big fat dig at Sarah Palin, who had a list on her hand, if you remember, crib notes on her left hand before a question and answer session at the Tea Party convention on Saturday night. That's where she was when it was photographed. And she poked fun at herself during an appearance on Sunday where she wrote "Hi, Mom" on her, you know, writing "Hi, Mom" on her palm. And Gibbs had come up with that fake grocery list that he put on there, and you heard the reaction of the press corps to that. But it brings up a good question. You know how they're like dogpiling on Sarah Palin, but not for nothing, but our president needs a teleprompter. Even when he's at a grade school and talking to some kids, he's got the teleprompter thing. So that's where he's keeping his notes. So I think that they'd be wise to sort of lay back on that one, although it was a pretty funny moment. It's not the idea about the hand notes. I mean, who cares? She wrote the hand notes, and it is kind of funny. But it's the idea that, whoa, wait a second now. Who's the guy with the teleprompter? So what do you think, fair or foul? Is it okay? I start to think about this because I go to places where sometimes I have to speak, and it's easy to lose your train of thought. I don't have a teleprompter when I'm speaking, but I might have some notes written down that I keep in front of me. You see comedians do it where they have maybe on a little card off to the side where their water is. Some of them are bad about it because they're looking down and they're looking at what their next thing is. What usually it's just a word or two to tell them what's next in their act so they don't forget. But some of them are pretty obvious about it, and some you have no clue, and others just flat out, if they forget something they were going to do or they forget they were going to tell a joke or whatever, they just move on and they're smooth and they roll through it. But I wonder, how many of you have ever written crib notes on your hand, if you'll admit it? Because usually that used to be the old way of cheating, I think, on tests. You flashed across the room to your buddy so he knew what the answer was. Although that could be confusing because everybody's a nervous wreck and you think you're going to get nailed for cheating. 800-259-5791 if you want to play our silly game. But Matt, have you ever written like a note on your hand, a girl's phone number perhaps, or something you had to do that you didn't want to forget?
Definitely. Back in high school, I used to write in my hand all the time. I remember that. I think as I got older, I quit doing it, but I used to write notes down there or numbers, things I needed to remember all the time on my hand. You know, and sometimes that all-important exam was coming up, and you needed a little assistance via the hand.
I've been in many classrooms, college, high school, and I'm sure grade school, where somebody had written on their hand the answer to something and was showing it to somebody else. I never did it.
I would never do it where you show it to somebody else. It was more of a reminder. Like, I'd write down little abbreviations of things that would trigger, like, little memory in my brain, and I'd write, you know, three-letter initials for something that is, oh, yeah, that's what it stands for, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's too hard to cheat these days because everyone has different tests.
Exactly. In college especially. It used to be in a lot of the fraternities and sororities, they had a thing called test files.
Yeah, we had that.
Right. And so you'd go back, and somebody had Economics 101 or any class, whatever it was, philosophy, and you'd be able to get the test and you're studying the test. And the idea was really that you would study the test to get an idea of what could be asked. But sometimes the tests were verbatim, that the professors didn't change anything all those times around. And I can admit that on the air. We had test files, and twice the test was exactly the same.
But now they're getting more keen and hip to the technology, because back in my day, it was the graphing calculator that everyone write notes on. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, you can do it on your cell phone, too. So I know a lot of people who are younger than me that are in school right now, they have, like, a no-cell phone policy in the classes when they're taking tests, because you could pretty much write out, like, the whole essay or surf the Internet for the answer right from your phone.
Yeah, it'd be easy to do that. You're right. And they've caught on to that. And it was just like the paging. People were doing things with pagers and... Yeah, there's always clever ways to figure out how to cheat. And
take me back here, Kate.
I know. We didn't do that. I didn't have that, and nobody was carrying pagers. And are you kidding? When I went to school, they checked you for everything. You had to have your backpack, the whole thing, hung up. I went to a big school, and they were looking for anything they could possibly find. I can remember taking the SATs, and they were like sharks swimming around us in a circle. I mean, if your eyeball even slanted outward, you were in trouble. So I was always too, the cheating thing, there was no way I would go there because I would get confused because there was too much supervision. They're right down our throats.
Well, you have to you have to figure out which test your neighbor has and how it correlates with the test that you have. So maybe your test answer to number one is the answer to number five on there. So you just got to figure it out.
That's
it's
right.
It's just a different game of strategy.
That's right. How do we go down this path? Anybody listening to us, what Matt and I were talking about was the Palin thing. Robert Gibbs took a big chunk out of her. He's the White House spokesperson during his daily briefing where he actually was clever, made fun of her, and said he was reading off a grocery list where he had scribbled on his hand. And the White House press corps kind of cackled, and they didn't really, like, laugh hysterically over it, and they knew that he was gigging Sarah Palin. But a lot of people have been talking about it. In her case, was, you know, she's had a question and answer thing. Was this a smart thing to do? And I do liken it to the teleprompter deal, because let's face it, we have a president that pretty much travels with a teleprompter. Very rarely, sometimes, but very rarely is he off the cuff. He's got the teleprompter with all the words right in front of him. So, you know, hey, that's tit for tat, I guess. I think the teleprompter would be easier to read, frankly, than trying to look at your hand and whatever scribble that you wrote. And plus, if you sweat or whatever kind of ink you've used, there's a great chance it's going to smear and you're not going to know what the word is, and then you're going to be probably stuck a little bit more. Can you imagine? You have the answers. No, say this about foreign policy. Whoops, it ran off my index finger. I can't read it anymore. That could be a little weird.
I think it was kind of a big indictment on Palin, you know, giving her intelligence in the past being questioned. Mm-hmm. But I think Gibbs doing that is pretty classless, I think.
Yeah, that's why they cackled at him. That's what I said.
You know, you're the speaker, or not the speaker of the House, the press
spokesperson.
Press secretary. And you're there making a joke about Palin. I'm not a huge Palin fan, but I think that was a bad move on Gibbs' part.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's why he got the reaction that he got. I mean, I get that he was trying to be clever and cute, like I said, okay, so you give him one for that, but it was inappropriate.
He's kind of slimy,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, but he's slimy. That's why I call him the Flack. I think he is such a detriment to Barack Obama. I don't get some of the people around him. We started off this week saying if you could get rid of somebody, and you're Obama, and you've got liabilities around you, so you got to start lopping some people off, get better people around you. And now they're talking about this bipartisan cooperation. To me, it just shows, again, how thin-skinned they are. Because I think it was, okay, all the jokes about Obama and the teleprompter, boom, we're going to nail this lady back.
Well, another thing, too, is Obama's big message has been about working together and bipartisanship. And all that did right there is just redivide everyone.
Of course, absolutely. And right before that, and Obama had just spoken moments before the Gibbs thing happened about the need for bipartisanship. So, I think it was ill-advised, definitely. He was trying to be, and see, this is the problem of Gibbs. He's trying to be sarcastic. I don't even know. Just frankly, it was just the typical thing that he does. I don't even think he thought beyond, oh, this is not going to be perceived right, because he just doesn't think that way. But, yeah, pretty dumb. Fair or foul, what say you, America? 800-259-5791. Plus, coming up on the flip side, another one for our bad boys file. Stay with us.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Have your house payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? You need help from MortgageFraudExaminers.com. To stop the housing crisis, Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages. The trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you get the leverage you need to turn things around. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages are legally deficient. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. It's like CSI for your home loan. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating when faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. Find out how MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you. Visit MortgageFraudExaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Bad boy rapper Lil Wayne pled guilty, if you remember, back in October to a charge of attempted criminal possession of a weapon. Here's what happened. Somebody ratted him out. They pulled over his tour bus in July of 2007. The cops found a 40 caliber loaded semi-automatic gun on the bus when they searched it after a Manhattan concert. He admitted he illegally had it. And, of course, his sentencing is coming up. But check this out. This happened to the rest of us mere mortals. He left the courtroom when he was supposed to be sentenced in a black SUV. And the reason he left, followed by other rappers, including Birdman, part of the posse, he was able to leave because he's got to have dental surgery. They allowed him to have dental surgery before he's sentenced. His jewel-encrusted teeth cost him somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000, and I'm just betting that the dental surgery has to do with the teeth. Here's the deal. So he's going to be sentenced now so he can have this surgery stuff done on March 2nd, and he's got a plea deal working. It's a one-year term in a city jail, but good behavior could give him, I guess, about 8 months or so. It's good to be famous, isn't it? Whether you're a rapper, an actor, whatever. So Lil Wayne having that dental surgery, I think that counts for the Bad Boys file. It just, I guess it just pushes off the time if you will. All right, if you just tuned in, you're listening to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. You can always chime in with your thoughts on any of the stuff that we're talking about at 800-259-5791. Or if you want to wax poetically, that's cool, too. Somebody want to call us with a clever haiku? Or you can send it to me at americatonight.net. Here's what I love that's happening right now, that's going on right now. I think one of the ultimate... he's not worthy of bad boy. He's worthy of a scumbag, really, label. But, you know, this cat, this former Illinois cop who apparently terrorized plenty of women, and who knows how many women he killed wife-wise, you know, Peterson, who had that smug smile constantly when people were following him around trying to find out, was he involved in killing his one of his wives? But he's had so many. That's the first thing you need, a scorecard to keep track of how many wives. Peterson's fourth wife, Stacy, the last one, disappeared in 2007. That's when he became a household name. And he hasn't even been charged in the disappearance, but they say he's a suspect. However, and this is what I love, they were able to nail him on a previous wife. So what's happening now in Joliet is the second wife of the former police sergeant testified at a pretrial hearing saying that he had threatened to kill her and said he could make it look like an accident. Her name is Victoria Conley, and she said her ex-husband, Drew Peterson, that's who we're talking about, pulled this gun on her three or four times when they were married, once put it to her head saying he's just going to blow her head off and then kill himself. He's pled not guilty to first-degree murder in the 2004 death of his third wife, Kathleen Savio, and the prosecution has called 68 witnesses at the pretrial hearing to determine what, and this is what's tricky, what hearsay evidence is going to be allowed at the upcoming murder trial. Defense starts on Wednesday. Conley and Peterson were married for 9.5 years. They divorced in 92. And she described an argument in the mid-80s when he grabbed her by the throat, said he could kill her and make it look like an accident. Conley said, pretty much mirroring the testimony of other people, of the 68 people who were trotted up, said they were repeating what Peterson's third and fourth wives told them. But it's a question of what they're going to allow, what is admissible, because really hearsay or statements that aren't based on direct knowledge of a witness, they're not usually admissible in court. But Illinois judges can allow it. Isn't this interesting? They can allow it in murder trials if prosecutors prove a defendant may have killed a witness to prevent them from testifying. So that's what they're trying to do here, and that's why she's so key to this, his controlling behavior. And she's even said that his controlling behavior didn't stop after the divorce. He followed her, even got into her house, so even when they were split. You know, it was, she'd be worried. A couple of times she woke up in the middle of the night to see Peterson just standing over her bed. You knew when the fourth wife disappeared and they kept, you know, people kept pumping the stories in Chicago and the family was enraged and they were trying to do whatever they could to find their daughter. You just knew something was going to happen. Somehow they were going to be able to get this guy, and finally they were able to take him down. What's happened is, part of this, is a guy who worked with Drew Peterson at a cable TV company testified that he was asked to kill Savio, the wife, but he turned down the offer. And then there was another guy who worked at the company. What is he thinking? That says he was also approached about the same offer. So he was trying to find somebody to kill his wife for $25,000. And that's part of what they're going to be able to use in court against him. And I hope they're able to nail him and put him away for a very long time. Since we're on the court trail, a sad story that emerged for Nancy Kerrigan's father But whether or not is this going to be the father be ruled homicide or not, because he died. The death of her father was ruled a homicide officially on Tuesday. An autopsy showed he had a heart arrhythmia problem after a fight with his son, where he had a neck injury so severe it damaged his windpipe. So a lawyer for the family is criticizing the report about, excuse me, about the father, 70-year-old Daniel Kerrigan, saying it was premature and inaccurate. And the family said that Kerrigan had a pre-existing heart condition, and they don't blame him for anyone's death, but the findings could possibly lead to some new charges against the brother Mark, who has pled not guilty to assault and battery on a person over 60 and is currently having to go through a battery of psychiatric tests at a state hospital because he was a hothead. And police say there's no doubt they could see it, that he put his hands around his father's neck and his father fell to the floor after they were arguing at the house. Just a question of, you know, what's going to happen in this case now that it's been a homicide. But, boy, this has to be awful for the mother and for Nancy Kerrigan to be right in the middle of this, and then plus with his death. And they talked about in the past the behavior and the relationship between these two, that there had been problems before, but especially with the son. He would get smashed, and they would find him on a couch in the basement of the Kerrigan's house, and he'd be incoherent and all that stuff. And that's actually how they found Mark Kerrigan, and he's got a long criminal record with convictions that include drunken driving, assault and battery, and domestic assaults, and all kinds of stuff. So I'm thinking it's going to be a rough road for him, no matter who the lawyer is that the family's gotten. And even the parents sued him to recover money they spent paying his mortgage at one of his homes. And he's was in jail a couple of times. And, you know, you can't go back on those previous records, but I think judging by some of the evidence they've thrown out there, it's going to be pretty tough for him to beat this one. So it is a homicide. It's been ruled a homicide. That's it for courts. I'm going to leave you with this thought, you know, talking about the law and two very, very different kinds of cases. One, especially with this Peterson guy. Boy, if they could just find Stacey Peterson's body, you know, that's the thing. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Trouble is only opportunity in work clothes.
Look what you did, you little jerk.